Hey, it's Latif from Radiolab. Our goal with each episode is to make you think, how did I live this long and not know that? Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know. Listen wherever you get podcasts.
Once again, this morning, serious, intense selling pressure for Wall Street futures when the opening bell sounds, and all because of the situation going on in Europe. Let's catch you up to date. Italian Prime Minister Silvio Berlusconi confirms he will step down at some point. Italian bond yields have soared above 7%, and that's perceived to be a very important threshold. It may force the country to seek emergency funds from the eurozone at 7% or above. That's the cost, the interest rate charged for Italian borrowing. The chief executive of the Eurozone Fund says he'll find a way to increase the power of that fund, but almost nothing could be large enough to actually bail out Italy in full. Will global markets wait around for Europe to come up with a new plan? Louise Story, Wall Street and finance reporter for our partner, the New York Times, joins us. Good morning, Louise.
Good morning.
What's important? And, you know, Joe Nocera yesterday on the program actually was scratching his head a little bit. Why is this 7% threshold so important?
Well, it's just recent history, John, because, you know, Ireland and Portugal, both of those two countries, when their bond yields went above 7% and they had to pay above 7% to borrow in the market, that's when they needed bailouts. So people are referring to that. They're saying that's a psychological threshold in the market, that when it gets above that, they're saying it even indicates something back to investors that problems are worse than they thought and it can become a downward spiral.
Although separating Italy from Ireland, Italy's economy is capable of paying the interest, the 7% interest on bonds that it's taking out. At least the numbers on paper say that they can make the payments.
I mean, yes and no. You know, Italy has one of the biggest debts outstanding in the entire world. They have $2.6 trillion in debt. And the amount they have to roll out is hundreds of billions every year. And so, yes, they can pay their interest, but they have to be able to roll over their new debt next year. So they can pay their interest. But if they can't raise new debt at an affordable cost, the thing about Italy, the reason people have said, there are two reasons people have said for the last year that Italy won't be as bad as Greece. And then there are reasons why we're questioning it. But the reasons why they've said it's better is, first of all, a lot of Italy's debt is held inside Italy. So there has been a theory that, you know, the Italians and Italian institutions won't sell it. Second of all, Italy does have this huge debt. It's 120% of its GDP is right. Its debt. But it's not incurring a big deficit right now. It's not growing it right now. It's debt that it took on a while ago. And so that is different than, you know, Greece, where the deficit has continued growing.
And in fact, it has accelerated as the public sector shrinks during these austerity programs, more people out of work, less taxes, more deficit.
Oh, in Greece, it's worsened their financial picture.
You know, I don't want to start fights at the New York Times. That's not my mission at all. But Joe Nocera yesterday described this as a contagion. We're thinking about Greece. Now we're worried about Italy. Next stop, he didn't say it, but is France the next stop here? Would you describe this as a contagion?
Well, you know, you can describe it as a contagion, or you can describe it as a responsible unwind. And let me tell you what I mean by that. So on the one hand, we're all talking about, oh, no, you know, investors are running from Italy. They're leaving, and that's why these yields are going up. But on the other hand, you look at any financial institution that has debt from Italy or from Greece or from Portugal, and you say, why do they have that debt? So people are telling financial institutions to get out of the European debt. So don't be surprised here when investors don't want the debt from Italy, because we're telling financial institutions to be responsible and get out of it. They're unwinding it. They've had a lot of warning signs. They've allowed a lot of time to do it. So the question is, if we don't want banks in this, if we don't want big pension funds in it, who do we want to own it? Because someone has to own it.
It's a transition that's taking place, and this is how markets correct. Basically, something like this happens, and then banks begin to unwind their positions in this debt, which has an effect on the interest rate and the effect on the ability of that country to borrow. It's a normal thing. Do markets get the message? This is a normal thing. Chill out, relax. No, they don't.
No, that's what I'm saying. It's this contradictory thing, because on the one hand, traders in the markets are upset about any pension fund, money market fund, bank that owns a lot of this debt. On the other hand, they're nervous that no one wants to own this debt. So I don't see how you get out of this picture of bankers feeling like they have to get out of it, otherwise their stocks will be punished. I mean, look at how much heat MF Global took. Okay, MF Global just collapsed, and they collapsed because they owned Italian debt and debt from Ireland. And so everyone's saying that John Corzine was irresponsible.
The chairman of MF
right,
Global, right,
for owning this debt. Okay, but if no one wants to own it, of course the yield's going to go up for Italian bonds, and of course Italy might need a bailout.
All right, so this is kind of a consumer story in the sense that if I had a pension fund and I wanted to know whether they had exposure to Italian debt or Greek debt or just general Eurozone debt. Are there ways to find that out?
Well, you know, different pension funds release different levels of transparency about what they own. And one of the things that honestly has been frustrating to me covering this whole situation in Europe is that disclosure from a lot of different kinds of financial institutions is very bad. It's very hard to tell who owns this. You only hope that the regulators know, but frankly, you call the regulators often and they don't have a lot to say about who owns it. So that's a frustrating thing. I think it'd be hard for a consumer to go figure it out.
Nevertheless, with that level of transparency, and I would say it's more opaque than transparent the way you're describing it there, you have given us a pretty concrete sense that Italy is very different from Greece. Do not assume that what happens in Greece is going to necessarily happen in Italy. Can we say that also about France versus Italy? These countries are very, very different, even though they are linked together.
Well, the problem is, you know, to some extent, I do agree with Joe Nocera, my colleague at the Times, when he says it's contagion because, again, if people run away from Italy's bond market and so Italy can't, at an affordable cost, roll over its debt next year, it may need to haircut some of its $2.6 trillion in outstanding debt. So this is no longer about really whether Italy is fundamentally a better economy. Mm. This is really about, can you get people to buy your debt in the market? Can you have confidence? And it's very similar to what we saw in the financial crisis in 2008
credit
here.
Freeze up.
That's
credit
a credit freeze up.
Yeah.
So you had Bear Stearns, and then you said, well, Goldman Sachs is much better. But you know what? 6 months later, people were selling out of Goldman stock like crazy. And that's why you needed the government bailout here to rescue Goldman and the other banks.
Contagion or otherwise, the wild card in the Eurozone crisis, though, is when these governments and voters weigh in politically on whether they're actually going to support austerity or not. Louise Story, Wall Street and finance reporter for our partner, The New York Times. Thanks so much.
Thank you.